Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
Thank you. My topic this morning in week 3 of our Making Our Dreams Come True is opening our hearts to relationship. And each topic has a subtitle. It's Making My Dream Come True, about loving, supportive, nurturing, empowering relationships in my life. One of my mentors a long time ago made the statement, all there is relationship. When we think about that, that's true. All there is relationship. And I don't think he was only meaning relationship between other people. He meant relationship as that wonderful song that Mark had earlier, The Chain. We're related to everything in this world and in the cosmos. So in Making Our Dreams Come True, each topic has been about relationship with something or other. The first topic, the first week, was claiming our wholeness. It was about relationship with our body and having health expressing through it and vitality and wholeness. Last week we talked about and listened about coming out of hiding, feeling our feelings. That's certainly a big part of relationship. I've heard a couple of authors and speakers say that there's two basic emotions, fear and love. And then what most people do is make the jump to fear is the opposite to love and love is the opposite to fear. And I don't hold it that way. I hold that love, true love, not just the emotion of I love you, let's go do this together and like that, let's get married, but the true, larger context of love, there is no opposite. It's been said God is love, infinite presence and power is love. That's the place that I'm looking at. It's like the larger context of love that has no opposite. But then you say, well, what about fear? What's fear's opposite? The opposite to fear is joy. We cannot be feeling fear and be expressing joyfulness at exactly the same time. I like to look at acronyms around words. When you look at the word joy, J, just, O, open, Y, yourself. Just open yourself. When we're expressing and experiencing joy, we can be fairly certain that we're open at that point. We're open. So today's topic, opening our hearts to relationship, and next week we'll be opening ourselves to the flow, being in the flow, true prosperity. But the purpose today in opening our hearts to relationship, I want to address three things. First one, again, is always asking a question, always for my first point. And the question that I'd like us to be with this week is asking ourselves, how open am I? I mean, really, how open am I? And as the topic develops, you will see how much this dovetails into last week's topic, which was coming out of hiding and sharing our feelings, and first of all, feeling our feelings. But how open am I? And the next point is another question. And that is, how do I want to be remembered? You know, many times people think about a legacy, and people think about wills and being left something. Have we ever thought about the relationship legacy that each one of us shall leave? And is it the kind of relationship legacy that we would like to leave? Would it be a legacy of, well, that when they speak about you after you've made your transition, that person had relationship as a top priority in their life? Something to look at for ourselves. And then the last portion I want us to look a little deeper at, the purpose of relationship. And I've already read something from Marianne Williamson, which I will reiterate. So let's get back to number one about how open am I? How open am I? Last week, in Feeling Our Feelings, Coming Out of Hiding, I spoke a little bit about revealing rather than concealing. A number of years ago at the center, I used to lead workshops for singles. And I, as a married person, was leading the workshop, and then I led it with a single woman also. One of the things I always used to say is our dating time about disclosure or deception? I spoke at length last week about the Nonviolent Communication book, which is such a powerful book, and we'll be ordering some this week. So if you do want to place your order, please let me know. And there's several pages in there about the different feelings. And some of them are what we would call positive or negative. And remember last week I said it's not so much positive or negative or good or bad or right or wrong. It's, are my needs being met or aren't my needs being met? So we could kind of go and lump them into four major feelings that if sometimes we're at a loss for, so how am I feeling? Mad, glad, sad, or afraid. Very easy to remember those. If we're willing to tell the truth about it. Mad, glad, sad, or afraid. Mary Manon Morsi, spiritual director and founder of the Living Richmond Center outside of Portland, who wrote the book Building Your Field of Dreams, has a new book out called No Less Than Greatness. We have a few in our book nook. And it's all about relationship. One of the things I absolutely love about Mary is her willingness to be honest and tell the truth about what goes on in her own life. And she tells quite a bit about her family. And she's in a second marriage. And they're in a blended family. And what she saw when she realized that she was in love with her now husband, and there was like a fear that came up, she shared in the book, a fear. Because he had two sons that were a lot younger than Mary's grown children. And she kind of had this conversation with God, and now I'm paraphrasing from the book, but she had this conversation with God. It's like I'm going back 10 years. There was that, like, fear. And what she got as an answer is, I'm not sending you back 10 years, Mary. I'm sending you forward to a brand new experience. A brand new experience. The experience is the invitation to open your heart in a way that you never fathomed. And those of you that are in blended families or living with people that you're blending families, you know that that's so. And that, of course, isn't the only instance where that happens. Barbara DeAngelis, in one of her books, I think it's called How to Make Love All the Time, she speaks about four things that can absolutely ruin a relationship. And when I was thinking of these four things, I thought of an extra one or two. I mean, we could think of a lot more, But these are the four R's that she calls the four R's, or I'll say the five or six R's, that can ruin a relationship when we resist. What we resist persists. When we resent, when we reject, and when we repress. The thing that we don't realize is that when we repress our feelings, we're also repressing the feelings of joy and passion also. So the other two I thought of were retaliation and revenge. And sometimes it can be kind of covert. I was reading a story that Irma Bombeck shared, and I think, I don't know if it was her own life or she was sharing about someone, but this woman had was checking in the glove compartment of the car that her husband normally drove in, and she found a pair of pantyhose, size A, which were not her size. Well, some feelings surfaced. Mistrust, shock, anger, poor me, and then some covert revenge retaliation came in. She took the pantyhose and she arranged it into a table center for their table where they ate. And throughout the next couple of meals, she made comments. And after a couple of days, and her husband wasn't grabbing onto it, you know. After a couple of days, her daughter sat down and looked. She said, "Oh my gosh, here's my pantyhose. I thought I'd left it in the car." So you see, sometimes things happen, and then, of course, we always have a thought about it, our own perception. And we have our feelings about it. And then we may react to it or we may respond. And of course, there wasn't the openness of communicating, asking about it, whatever. She immediately went into all these other things that can ruin a relationship. I don't remember whose quotation this is, but when I first heard it, I actually had it on my fridge for a long time. And that is that love without honesty is hypocrisy. Love without honesty is hypocrisy. Honesty without love is brutality. Honesty without love is brutality. So you see, it's like that balance of love and honesty, and how this all dovetails into not hiding our feelings. First of all, feeling them, sharing them, communicating them in a powerful way, speaking the truth about having our needs met, etc. When we're looking at how open are we, it's also good for us to look to see what we try to hide. What we try to hide are things usually that we have perceived or judged as unacceptable. And there's popular hideouts, places we go. Just for a couple of examples. One hideout is, and all the hideouts have payoffs. One hideout is busyness. Anybody here a little too busy? I won't look up, it's like, okay. Busyness. What's the payoff of that? The payoff is the pride of accomplishment. Another hiding place, hideout, is acquisition. Accumulating things and buying things. And the payoff is that rush that we get when we buy or get or receive or something new. It's been said that shopaholics actually get a rush when they hear the Visa card go shh, shh. It's
like the rush, you know?
And then, of course, there's the hiding that we do when we escape from one relationship to another, and the payoff is temporary euphoria. But never quite sticking around to work it out or get to know the person deeper. There's four H's that I'd like to just touch on very slightly. About a year and a half ago, I did a whole topic on these four H's. And the topic was, how did I entitle it? What it's like being me. And I share myself around these four H's. And I ask you, in opening your hearts to relationship, to look to see if you're willing to open these up a little bit in your relationship areas. First of all, sharing with people what's on your heart. Your heart. What are your hopes? You could say like your dreams, but your hopes. What are your hurts? And where do you sense you need and want some help with? Not like they do it for you or rescue you, but support you and nurture you and hold you as able. So heart, hope, hurt, and help. It's been said that no one designs a mediocre life, but we kind of can slip into that by default, by drifting, and then lovers become like roommates. It's interesting, in the book that I mentioned of Mary Morrissey's, there was a research done about what the most uttered phrase is between people at home. The most uttered phrases, actually two phrases, that are uttered between people at home. Somebody would say, well, I love you. This shocked me. First one is, move. Second one is, what's on? Does that tell you where we are? I'm not saying we. I'm talking about the family of humanity. That shocked me. And it was researched. It wasn't just somebody thought that was what it was. So in opening our heart to relationship, sometimes there's areas, there's subjects that we stay away from because we think in not addressing them, in staying away from them, that we're protecting someone. What are some of these things that we may stay away from? Well, certainly, you know, our feelings, but the feelings around, perhaps, you're separating, significant people are separating, or divorce. Sometimes there's a huge change around the finances relative to a divorce or a death. So we don't talk about finances or money. Money's really interesting because nowadays it's like people will talk about how many orgasms they've had, when they first had one, if they've been incested, but the moment you say, my money, your money, it's like that. There's something about that. So it's like opening our hearts to relationship and being willing to go places. What about wills? I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many of us actually have our wills done and updated? I was shocked when I asked this of our 9 children. I'm on a few tales, I'll tell you. Because their mother, my stepchildren's mother, died without a will. And I know what that was about, like how hard that was for all of us. Why don't people want to make up a will? It's about thinking about their transition and their dying. Especially if we have children that are dependent on us, we don't want to think about, well, who would look after the kids? Who would I approach to look after the kids? What about when someone has an illness and they're making their transition? Are we willing to talk about their illness with them if they're willing and ask them if they'd like to? So many times people visit people and it's like, do anything but don't talk about their sickness or illness. Do anything, don't talk about dying. As a minister, when I go and visit people in hospital and it's that kind of situation, I have a commitment to do that. And it's like relief. Someone's willing to talk to me about this. Someone's willing to actually talk to me about this. So I asked earlier about what is the legacy that we would like to be remembered by. I think it was Stephen Covey in one of his books, and I'm paraphrasing now, but again, it was one of those things that when I read it, it just really spoke to me. It's like, let us look in the future, this next week, spend a little bit of time looking at this. And if you could visit at your own memorial service, whenever that would be, sooner or later, hopefully much later, but you could look in on it. And this memorial service was set up in such a way that they had several people sharing about you. So many memorial services have that now. Everyone that I do has that now. Whereas 10 years ago, it was almost unheard of. So what would your significant other, your lover, your significant other, your wife or husband, say about you? That's the legacy you're leaving. Relationship legacy. What would your family say about you? Your children, if you have children, or your siblings? Not or, and your siblings. Brothers, sisters, what would they say about you? Relationship legacy there. What would your co-workers say about you? What it was like to work with you? Love at the Core this week. There's someone in Love at the Core that worked very hand in hand for, I think it was over 15 years, with the woman in Saanich who was murdered last week. And it's transformed the whole office. What would your co-workers have to say about you? What would the community at large, the people that knew you in the community, what would they say about you? It's a good inquiry to sit in. It's a good inquiry to sit in. Now, we could ask ourselves, so would part of that sharing be that I was a person that they got the sense of that relationship was important to me? Maybe even I made it a top priority. I'm just going to run through a few things that we could look at, and certainly they're not all of them, but would touch on us leaving a very powerful legacy and opening our hearts to relationship. True practicing love means that we're willing to hear something that perhaps we don't want to hear. And the practicing of love also is sometimes sharing and saying something that we really don't want to say, but I'll say anyway, that needs to be said. Are you a person that will apologize if an apology is appropriate and in order? Or go to your grave without ever apologizing? And remember the children. That was a very powerful time in my life with my stepchildren and my own children, to admit some of the mistakes I made and to ask to be forgiven and to apologize. I wonder if any of you as parents here think that you have done your parenting all perfectly with absolutely no mistakes. If you have, I want to talk to you afterwards. Maybe you can lead a parenting workshop. I forgive. That's a legacy. I had someone in my life visit me this spring. That caused a great deal of hardship for me when Norman and I first got together. And I had questioned her about it through the years, if she kind of remembered that. And no, it was like she didn't remember it. And this last year, she put her arms around me and said, "Would you please forgive me?" What a legacy she's leaving me. And she's much younger than me. Eric Allenbaugh, in his book Wake Up Calls, speaks about telling people you appreciate them, and we've spoken about that so often, especially around Thanksgiving Day. But he also says two other statements that really work with relationships. He says, "We willing to share what it is that I do that gets in the way of our relationship. That we realize we do something or say something or be a certain way and it gets in the way of the relationship. Are we willing to tell the truth about that? And then are we willing to shift and make a commitment to do it differently or to be different?" Whichever words you like better. A relationship legacy is also having strong boundaries and being healthy and willing and courageous and risking enough to say no when you mean it. No is not a negative statement. It's an affirmation of the direction that we have chosen. It's an affirmation of the direction we've chosen. Remember, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Think this week, who do you want to be? Especially when we're up against it. No matter what it is, a challenge, a problem, who do we want to be in the matter here? Mary Mannen Morsi says it like this: what is the God thought regarding this person? What would be the God thought? The God thought would assume the person's best intention, if you're going to assume anything. Assume their best intention. Like, what would a godling do here? Which we all are. We're all godlings. The Spirit of God is a seed in every aspect of us. And we're placed in an environment that hopefully that seed will grow into full fruition. What would a godling do here? See another more than they are showing us, because we do not know their wounds. So I said earlier in the reading, and I'm just going to reiterate it for the tape, what Marianne Williams had said about the purpose of relationship. Number one, for us to see how we're doing. We get to see pretty clearly how we're doing spiritually. And number two, to give up the places where we still hold love at bay. Neil Donald Walsh, in one of his Conversations with God books, speaks about purpose of relationship, and this is what he says. It creates an opportunity, not an obligation, an opportunity for growth, for full self-expression, for lifting our lives to the highest potential to heal every false thought or small identity. Are we willing to not be small in our relationships? Are we willing to be big in our relationships? Courageous, honest, truthful, open, communicative, that. There's always another degree to go to. C. See, learning to live in love, like the love that we are, is really our life's greatest lesson, and our daily life is the curriculum. So that's why at least once a year we have a series like this called An Adventure in Faith, and we have different themes, this theme being making our dreams come true, but our dreams in every area of life, not just our dream to have a nicer house or a better job or go to Hawaii. Dreams in every area of our life. And we ask you to make commitments. And then we tie this in. There's strategy in this, you know. I'm going to share it with you. We tie this in to membership month. Do you know why? Because when you make a commitment to membership, and that's only if you want to be a member, not because you it should, no shoulding here. You make a commitment within your being that you're probably going to be here a little more often. Not every Sunday, you don't have to, not no have-tos here. But you're going to be here to continue to learn about yourself, to continue to push yourself to the next level of your spiritual unfoldment with like-minded people that will probably call you on a few things in a loving way. Because love without honesty is hypocrisy. Honesty without love is brutality. So that's why we tie it in that way. That you know, there's the commitment to place these ideas in our life week to week, and then hopefully not just stuck in a drawer and, oh yeah, that was a good series. That when we're up against it in one particular area, that we can pull out the summary of that particular topic and read it again and say, wow, there were some things here that really went wow to me, spoke to me, went ah to me, and then I kind of put it away. And you know, it's like riding a bicycle. It's like we don't ride a bicycle by reading the directions once. We get on the bike and we experience riding bicycle. So that's what a commitment series is all about. So that's why I ask you every week to take out your colored sheet and to see if you will say this affirmation with me out loud, inserting your name. Take it home where you're going to see it every day, either in your wallet or on your mirror, and have it be part of your life, and then filling out the card underneath to receive the what will assist you. You know, earlier I said no one designs a mediocre life. A fulfilled relationship happens by design, and it happens by what we are focusing on. You see, and some people live 90 years, some people live 1 year 90 times. Well, let's leave that one with you. So let's look at our affirmation and speak this out loud together in unison, and put your name where the blank is, okay, together. I, Gail Schultz, now make relationships a high priority. I live in the inquiry of what relationship legacy I desire to leave. One day at a time, I make my dreams come true by opening my heart to loving, supportive relationships. God's present power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power in each and every one of you, because that's who you are and that's who I am. Namaste. Thank you. Namaste. Thank you.